Hello.
Hi, Merlin. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great, Dan. There's some machines outside, believe it or not.
What kind of machines are there today?
I'm glad you asked. Sometimes they bring in they're all like Dr. Seuss machines. You know what I mean? Like kind of like a machine,
like a contraption of some kind.
Yeah, it's probably got a bucket. It's got some arms. I bet a finger can grab stuff. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Like, imagine a Dr. Seuss machine, except in this case, it's tearing up a road for several years. People are mad, Dan. They're very angry about the road. There's been some local reporting on this.
Oh, like in the news, like in the local paper or something like that?
Local fish paper.
The local rag?
Yeah, they're going out. Can you hear that? They're going at it out there. Yes, several places. It's in the San Francisco Standard. It's in S Fist. Do you have Austin Fist there?
No.
We have S Fist.
What is that? I like it, but what is it?
It's SFIST dot something. And S Fist says people are mad. And listen, it's not just me, Dan. The jackhammering, it's breaking people's windows.
Oh, no.
Millions of dollars in lost revenue. You know? And then when it's all done, they still aren't going to give us our regular streetcar line back.
Really?
Our streetcar line only goes to West Portal now. Only goes to West Portal. It's one of the great destinations in the Bay Area, but you got to, you know, change trains if you want to go downtown. Real basic. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, the kind of stuff you learn in grade school, really.
Well, you know, the way I look at it, when I moved here and I learned that I was around half a block from one of the five streetcar lines in town, of course I was thrilled.
Yeah, you're close. They get everywhere. Get to anything. Done.
Well, and like I've said before, in
5 minutes.
Ages, yeah. Well, not 5 minutes, but like, yeah, but close. 5 minutes. Like if I walk, you know, if I scoot there, but I'm not gonna, I don't want to carry a scooter with me. Not a monster. What are they really going at it? All I was gonna say was like, you know, I'm part of the reason I loved and chose to move here was because of that. But that's nothing in some ways compared to like old people.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, there's a lot of old people or just stubborn people, which, you know, Venn diagram, right? Who ride Muni. And like the stops are constantly changing and it's been a bus now for 2 years instead of the streetcar. It's not merely a white wine. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to pick any other colors, but it's all kinds of wine. It's practically a tour of a vineyard. All the wines. Oh my goodness, it's getting louder.
Can you see it? Like, do you have a window that you can look out of, or?
I don't know. I've never checked. I'm at the foot of Coit Tower, and it's a beautiful, balmy, cool, dry, humid day.
Yeah.
Here in Tallahassee. That's, you know, when I do that, I'm doing Red Barber, because Red Barber, the baseball guy, Red Barber? You familiar with Red Barber?
Barber.
Red Barber, that's his like, well, his real name. I mean, it's the name he's used for years. He's a baseball guy who talks like this. And he used to be on, and Bob Edwards would interview him once a week, and he would be interviewed from his home in Tallahassee where the crepe myrtle are blooming.
Mm-hmm.
And I would think, you know, I'm going to find out where he lives. I'm going to go stare at his window. I'm going to go.
Just at night, just hang out in the backyard at night.
Stalking the barber.
Do what you need to do.
I miss Bob Edwards. Did you ever listen to Bob Edwards when he hosted Morning Edition?
Yeah, of course.
And remember they had that little trumpet voluntary? Remember that?
Yeah.
Bob Edwards.
Different from Bob Evans. Not the same. Do not confuse with Bob Evans.
Yes. One gets up early for radio and the other one gets up early for a sausage.
For a snossage.
Snossage.
And I actually just went to the Bob Evans website.
Oh.
And there's something here I don't understand. There's a little.
You have a concern? Dan's concern. Yeah. Well, it's Dan's concern. Dan has a concern about Robert Evans, not the producer.
So it says on the right, there's a little white square that has a picture of a cast iron pan with an egg that has been cracked into the pan and looks like it's sort of sunny side up and the egg is in the shape of a heart, mm-hmm. which is cute. Mm-hmm. But then it says this, egg crack, give back.
Egg crack, give back. Mm. And that's like some nominal like Bob Evans charity thing?
Thursday, February 22nd, every Farmer's Choice breakfast order supports future farmers in the National FFA.
Yeah, awesome.
Egg crack.
I hate those things so much.
Like, what is, I don't know what any of that means.
It means that they have agreed, I don't know how much it is, but like, so they have agreed to give $1 million to the future farmers of America and not one nickel more, which for which they get a tax write-off, which is fine. But whatever, they're going to give up to, and this is the way it works. This is for your pink yogurt. This is for all those things you buy because some of the money goes to charity, right? And so what happens is some company goes, hey, we're ready to pink wash this or sausage wash this. Hey, we want to go help some youths in corduroy jackets like so many of us do. Did you have FFA at your school?
I mean, maybe. I don't remember.
Well, you would know it. You see a bunch of guys, you know, and gals, you know, in those cool corduroy jackets. That's the Future Farmers of America on it. FFA.
FFA.
So they say arbitrarily, and I don't know. I don't know what the sausage man is putting into their palms. But let's say for the sake of argument, $1 million. But here's the thing. First of all, that's always an upper limit. So when you return the cereal box parts, when you buy the pink yogurt for breast cancer, all that stuff, there's an upper limit, ordinarily anyway, of like how much they'll give. And they won't give a nickel more. And also, they don't have to give that total amount unless the number of boxes or yogurts are reached.
Oh,
so if people don't buy yogurt, they don't give that full amount.
They don't give you anything, really.
A real jam up. Yeah. So yeah, it's real frustrating to me. Like I said, this in the wisdom document, you can find it on the internet. You know, don't buy stuff because a portion of the money goes to a good cause. Because if you give money, and I don't love that word charity, but if you want to give money to somebody who could use it, just give them the money. You just go buy a yogurt like a person. Like, what are you, nine? What are you, Dan, nine?
I'm nine, and I sent you a picture of...
Oh, is this the country boy skillet?
What this is a farm fresh protein bowl. It says fuel your busy day with vitamin rich sweet potatoes, garden fresh veggies.
I bet it's really small.
And nutrient packed spinach.
Show art.
I don't know, but the way that this cheese, with air quotes around the word cheese, the way this cheese looks is revolting to me.
You're talking about the strips of unmelted cheddar or the uncanny queso blanco or a portion of the sunny side
egg? That's whatever that is. That's
no, that's no. This is delicious, but it's absolutely not wholesome.
No,
it's got bacon and it's got ham. It's got beans. It's got red peppers. It's got green onions. It's got a frisson of spinach.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's a lot of spinach.
Unless the bulk of the spinach, like an iceberg, is hidden beneath the surface.
You love those videos.
I like watching those.
Iceberg videos? You like those? Yeah.
Yes.
I really love the mise en place or the mise en scène of what we're looking at here. These beautiful,
right, that's how they're making it. They got this beautiful, like, exactly, vine ripened tomato.
As soon as you order your death your death skillet. We got a warrant out for a cardiac arrest. Reiner.
I mean, so basically they're
cast iron thing,
like, yeah, they go and they pull one of the cast iron things off.
Dan, the ingredients are all right here. Mm-hmm. They take that, they also lay all this out each time you order. That's why it takes 2.5 hours.
Right.
Yeah.
I've never eaten at a Bob Evans.
They have to trim. You never what?
They never
have to trim the beans. They have to melt the queso.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Dios mio.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the delicious looking bread. Whole grain.
This is what I expect. I'm gonna look now. Yeah. Bob Evans.
Well, I'll put you can look search for on the internet and you can see a more realistic.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah. What's it called? Big Boy Bowl?
Farm Fresh Protein Bowl.
I think
bowl.
This should be called Bob's Big Mess. what can I get y'all today? Can I get Bob's Big Mess?
Oh my God.
That's extra cheese jizz. Also, make sure you get me some of them crumples of whatever that goddamn meat is. It might be a walnut. I can't tell.
Oh, okay. Business Insider has done a comparison.
That's the insider still.
Between Cracker Barrel and Bob Evans, two bastions of quality food.
I love Cracker Barrel. I ate the crap out of some Cracker Barrel.
I used to eat Cracker Barrel whenever I was driving.
Oh, my God. You ever had their catfish? You ever have their grits? You ever play that little jumpy pig game? Cracker Barrel versus Bob Evans. Oh, I see. Well, I mean, I mean, they both look like breakfast. It's not that bad. It's not like some of the fast food ones you see. You know what I mean? Where they show you like an actual Big Mac.
Yeah.
Big Mac is two all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese,
pickles, onions, sesame seed bun.
And the unrelenting feeling of death, like unto a breakup that never ends on a sesame seed bun.
Yeah.
That's the sound of the shooter you make. And it squirts it on.
Why do you make that sound so well?
Because I worked the grill. I was on day zero of the McDLT.
Well, the guy that wrote this article says after trying...
I've been trained on the McDLT. The hot stays hot and the fresh stays fresh, Dan.
After trying both chains, I'm a bigger fan of Bob Evans, he says. That's the conclusion of the
PC. Can I ask you to click on that person's, assuming it's, you know, somebody who writes for them? Could I get an idea of the other kinds of things that this professional writer writes for the publication Business Insider?
Yes.
Because this is some pretty inside business stuff.
Timothy Moore.
Like, what's next? Counting onions on the White Castle?
Here's some other articles that he's written.
Biscuit.
Seven of the most annoying.
Can I get another biscuit? Is that a terrine of sausage gravy? Biscuit.
Seven of the most annoying things tourists.
Can I get more of that spread? Can I get more biscuit spread from my biscuit? Go ahead. What else does he write?
Seven of the most annoying
about deals, Dan?
Things tourists do at Disney World and how to fix them. After spending 25
business
days in Italy, here are the 10 things I recommend to every tourist who visits.
Oh, are there seven takeaways of those 10 things?
I escaped the crowds of tourists in Rome by taking a cheap day trip to a dreamy lakeside town just an hour away. These are article titles.
That's a fantastic headline. Very well done.
I tried the unofficial monorail bar crawl at Disney World. No park ticket required. Here's where I stopped and what I drank for $160.
I hate these first person headlines have got to die. It's the worst. Apple News Plus, as I've documented numerous times, I'm sorry, everybody, as I've documented at length on Mastodon, Apple News Plus has introduced me to what you are doing right here. I don't normally see things like that, but my Pyrrhic attempts to make Apple News Plus something that's useful to me, bring me back there, often just for comedy value. But
there are a lot of articles that he's written in the vein of, I ordered the same meal at restaurant A and restaurant B, and then this is the winner. So there's a lot of those.
Oh, interesting. Could you give me, just real quick, I mean, I'm sorry, I know we've got a lot to talk about. Is there... so far, Dan, you've given us the breakfast restaurant Bob Evans. Now, we had one of those right by Gulfview Square Mall in Port Richey.
Mm.
And so we would go there after church sometimes or what have you. And then what was it? Oh, Cracker Barrel. Cracker Barrel, like, it's just basically every highway exit, right?
I appreciate this headline because I don't have to read the article now.
Okay.
I got the same meal at Culver's and McDonald's. The Midwestern chain dominated almost every category.
Culver's. Oh, wait, that's different than Clam Jumpers or Clam Diggers. Wait, what's Culver's?
I've never heard of it.
Is that another one? A member of my family used to date a guy who was a drug dealer, but his cover was that he also managed something called Claim Jumpers.
Claim Jumpers?
Yeah. And so one Thanksgiving, I had to hang out with this guy and his family. And it was horrifying. And he's one of those guys. He's one of those plateau guys. He's one of those, like, you know, his Maserati is more Maserati or whatever. Like, he's done everything. He's seen it all. And he is the full manager at Claim Jumpers. And every time he would say Claim Jumpers and we would stare at him blankly, he would go, they're known for their large portions. I'd say, oh, Claim Jumpers. That's cool. Because, yeah, they're known for their large portions. Oh, okay. So that's cool. Oh, also, he's like, the pie. You got to get the pie. It's really good. And I think that's kind of like how the Texas Cheesecake Suppository is. Same idea. You go in there, large portions. You get whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like a large portion, Dan?
I do. And in Texas, we're kind of spoiled with that.
Because you're in Texas. Mm-hmm. Everything's bigger on the inside. Yeah, right. That's cool.
It is.
I wonder if I could find a couple of these headlines. Buy me 20 seconds by slowly telling people where to find show notes.
Oh, I think the show notes are going to be at back to work, full stop, limo. and slash 640. 640.
I can't find it. It's not really fun enough to look up, but yeah, sometimes I'll screenshot these and put them up. And it's one of my favorite runs recently was something called Who, What, Where, W-H-E-R-E.
Mm.
It's mainly fashion, but mostly women's fashion site. And all of their headlines are incredible. The results have been
incredible.
And it's all stuff like, I'm sorry, quiet luxury. This new anti-trend shoe is the look I'm stealing. Like they're just always apologizing to something. Or there's the ones that are like, you know, I'm a professional dog groomer and I clean yachts for a living. And these are the seven can't miss belts I saw in Paris last year.
Right.
That's a thing now, right?
Yeah, like actually really like
saying that and then telling your family you're a professional writer. And listen, I understand. I see this all the time. This is, again, also in the wisdom document, wisdom.limo. I will link to it. But this is the thing to know is that at a mainly professional-ish publication, the folks who write or pretend to write the articles rarely get to pick their own headline. At your bigger outlets, I think
Do you think that they're picking it and submitting it and it's just being ignored? Or do you think there's ever...
I've got a reckon. I'm sure they're involved, but if you're asking me, like, I mean, are we talking about Washington Post or are we talking about, you know, claimjumperfan.io?
Mm-hmm.
I guess at the bigger outlets, there is somebody, an editor, and I don't know the name of that particular role, but I mean, even historically through time, I think the editor, obviously your editor on the piece, has something more like final say on what the title would be. Although I have to imagine they pitch them. Mm-hmm. In some cases, obviously the whole hook of the piece is some kind of a cute headline. I don't think those are something people come up with at the last minute. They're coming up with in the industry, I think they call it a package. Like, we're going to do this whole thing and da 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 da. And even if it's just one piece, like, but like, that's even before we get into SEO. And boy, you got to get into SEO, because I remember Huffington Post or HuffPo or whatever it's called now. They were the first one I ever heard about that would automatically A/B test headlines. So every time they posted a story, there'd be two different headlines.
And do you feel deceived when you find out about that kind of thing?
I mean, at first I had that kind of reaction that a lot of bloggers would have, which was like, that's a really smart idea. I mean, if that's your business, like, you wouldn't have qualms about, if you're a bakery, you wouldn't have qualms about trying to get people to buy your buns. Like, if you're trying to get people to click on stuff, of course you come up with that. It's just that now, I mean, I'm the crotchety old man going, like, I think it would be nice for you to, the point of the headline ought to be to tell me what the thing is about.
Mm-hmm.
And increasingly headlines just flatly, in the Washington Post and New York Times even, refuse to tell you what the thing is about, because that's the point. The point is they have one morsel of information, pseudo information.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, they've got a, it might be not a blind item, but it might be something that they've gotten from another paper and have, like, been able to confirm or not able to confirm. And they, it could be something like, this controversial Trump appointee was recently found doing autoerotic things out of claim jumpers. And the whole point of the story is to say it's thus and such person, but I sound dumb, right? I sound simple say, like, well, if that's really the only thing you have, it's like, ooh, look and point, somebody did something. Don't you want to know who? And we see this. Oh, you know what? I'm going to do this. And this is not going to be funny, so I'd be ready to save this. I'm going to go to SFgate and I'm going to see if I can find any of these.
Okay.
It's just some, and again, these are so anodyne at this point that any of you who've actually attended school at some point might have forgotten that you used to have critical faculties when you read SF restaurant known for its affordable sandwiches to close. SF restaurant known for its affordable sandwiches to close. And there's a picture of a sandwich. You understand?
Yeah. I'm desperate to know. I'm desperate to know. What is the restaurant?
A 90-minute meal at one of the most reviewed restaurants on earth. What's the name of the restaurant?
Mm-hmm. I guess we should have checked.
Let's see. They lived inside Disneyland. Their house is still at the park today. This is terrific stuff. See, here's another one. in quotes, terrified, colon, latest billionaire acquisition in Carmel sets off alarm bells. There's nothing about that except for like, ooh, I'm from near Carmel. I better find out why people are terrified. You know what I'm saying? And here's the other trick. This is no, right? Another one they do is like, if it happened in Pack Heights, they will say, so this happened in Pacific Heights.
Mm-hmm.
If it happened somewhere else in San Francisco, they usually will name the neighborhood and say, so in the headline, they'll say, you know, Pack Heights mom calls the police on black people for, you know, owning a grill or whatever.
Right.
Oh no. Or you'll be amazed to find out what race of person got the police called on them because they have a grill, says Pack Heights resident. All right. The thing is, then sometimes they'll just say San Francisco. And that's like, that's more general. That might be like where I live.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, but the thing is, then you know what the code phrase, Bay Area.
Bay Area is a huge area though.
Really, really.
Like
big.
But you're
reading the Bay Area quote unquote newspaper. And so you go, oh, you know, this happened in Fairfax and it wasn't what it seemed, but like, oh, it's in the Bay Area. I better go, you know, water main break destroys Bay Area children. And you're like, oh, I better check that out. You know, like, oh, you know, the children were actually paintings and, you know, it's okay. It was in Cotati or whatever. Anyway, I you know, I'm on a tear right now, Dan. So Walt Disney himself loved this legendary California restaurant. They have a lot of things about restaurants. What's closing, what's opening, what's closing, what the arrow on the in and out sign really means.
So, you know, one of the things that I
let's go to S Fist. Let's see if there's anything good on S Fist.
S Fist. One of the things I always like thought of when I would hear someone say the Bay Area, to me, I naively,
I always thought Tampa.
Well, yeah, Tampa Bay.
That's right. The Bay Area to me growing up.
I mean, yeah, but I always thought when they would talk about it in terms of California, I thought it was like a very small area of San Francisco.
The stuff like I think it would be very.
In fact, it's like a huge area.
The places
of California
that are directly abutting the bay,
right?
But you know,
the bay is Sonoma, huge. By the way,
it's a big bay.
Yeah,
but it's a big bay, small hole. That's why they had such a hard time finding California. They're just driving and driving and driving. And they're like, whoa, yeah. Dios mio, what is that?
Yeah,
it's whatever Spanish for hole. And then they drove through there in their ships. And the place that they landed will amaze you. Here's seven takeaways. It's just that it matters, Dan. And when we stop noticing bad writing, I don't know.
My party of two spent $114 on an all-you-can-eat breakfast at Ohana in Disney World, and it was totally worth it.
See, yes. But a lot of times that'll just be something like this controversial dessert or whatever. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. Well-known Oakland auto repair shop owner shot and killed in his own store. So you have to read the article to find out who the well-known person is. He's not even mentioned in the deck, the one paragraph deck. I don't know. I just think, and like, again, I do really feel like I can hear people's eyes rolling in their head and going, are you this simple? Do you not understand that everybody knows this is bullshit?
Yeah.
And it's like, I do think on some level, everybody knows it's bullshit, but I think a lot of people have come to accept this as the kind of ambient bullshit that we all have to deal. And like, that's just how it goes. It's like, hey, life's like the DMV now, wakadookadoo. And it's like, no, but like, this could all be done so much better. And that's why every time I read something now that like crackles, it makes me so excited because it feels rare as hen's teeth to find something where you're like, oh my God, this person sweated the structure of this. They sweated the word choice. They sweated the length of that particular paragraph. And, you know, the best or a most interesting, weirdest headline in the world isn't going to save that.
No.
If it's not, you know, if it's... Anyway, let's talk about happy things.
Okay. There is a flight that goes from Austin, Texas to Detroit, Michigan during the 2024 solar eclipse, which is on April 8th. It is the last total eclipse that we'll be able to see over North America until 2044. And the Delta Airlines lead meteorologist is talking about this, and he says that...
What's his name?
Warren Weston.
Oh, I like that. It sounds like a Marvel character.
I know.
Sounds like Angel.
Right? Warren Worthington, right?
Yeah. Yeah, Worthington the third.
This eclipse will last more than twice as long as the one that occurred in 2017, and the path is nearly twice as wide. So you get on this plane.
That's what she
said. And it is Monday, April 8th, Delta flight 1218.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you booked that flight down? Are you thinking about booking that flight?
I'm going to book it. 1215 p.m. Takeoff and arrival in Detroit at 3:20.
What time will you wheels up?
Well, they usually board, if it's Delta, 25 minutes before.
Fucking ATX here.
And then I guess you taxi a little. You're probably in the air at 12:37.
Detroit's where I got thrown off a plane that time.
Like during flight, mid-flight?
No, before the flight. I wish we could have spent more time there. The very, 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 very short and incredibly stressful time I had in Detroit. I still could tell, like, this seems like a really poppin' city. We had a really good Coney Island hot dog.
Oh.
We have those in Cincinnati, too.
WKRP.
Yes, that's right. Well, give me a couple more. What else you got for Cincinnati? You got the Reds?
Yeah, Cincinnati Reds.
Anything else?
Nope. Nothing else to do or see there.
Is Philadelphia the one where they used to throw batteries at people that were playing sports?
Is that batteries, snowballs, yes.
Snowballs. Is that a code term for something?
Yes. That's a code.
Dumping, wrapping it in ice from your mountain.
Right. No, it's just a real regular snowball, but it is code.
No, I understand.
There are several other flights if you can't make that one.
Okay. Oh, so it's just because you were looking at Ostfist?
Yes.
Essex Fix?
Mm-hmm. No, I was...
I'm pretty sure there's other fists.
I don't know.
It's technically called SFist. But of course, it just looks like Ostfist. You're thinking about... It's April... Oh, you said already, but April something?
April 8th. If you want to really see the eclipse, do it at 30,000 feet. And join the Mile High Club while you're at it.
No. Do you think, how do you know you'd see it?
Because they're going to make sure you damn well you see it.
Oh, the Delta meteorologists.
They can go above the clouds, dude. That's what I'm, you know?
You get above the clouds, your wheels up, and then you get up and we're going to have a little
bit of like, oh, it's cloudy. I can't see the eclipse. Yeah, you can. Get on this airplane.
Falling upright position.
Get on the airplane and...
What else is new? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Five flights you can get on.
Okay. Why would you do that?
Because you want to get above the clouds. See the eclipse.
See, all I see is all the ways that I probably won't see the eclipse. What I see is the flight is delayed and it's been rerouted and I just paid $290 to like go to Detroit. Yeah. With all due respect. You know, just don't push anybody in first class, especially if you didn't actually push them.
Texas ranks in the top 10.
You don't want to be thrown off this plane.
For nationally spoiled dogs.
What?
Florida is at the top of the list for spoiled dogs.
Oh, a dog that's been spoiled with like attention and treats and stuff.
Yeah, according to Forbes.
I thought you meant one where it turned a little bit.
According to Forbes, 49.5% of dog owners in Texas spend more money on their dog's health and grooming than they do on their own. And 44.5% of dog owners regularly throw birthday parties for their dogs.
I mean,
there are 27% of people put perfume or cologne on their dog.
Okay.
Texas dog owners...
They say about 45. It's shocking, but it's not surprising.
Push their dogs in a stroller.
Oh, I think that's a great idea. See, my pointer had hip dysplasia like most pointers. Also, he was stupid. He was real stupid because he was a pointer. And he's a pointer, so he had hip dysplasia, and he was really stupid. And that's why I named him Chauncey Gardner, because I thought he reminded me a little bit of that Peter Sellers character in that movie.
Have you ever tried a pair of the AirPods Max?
Well, I was wearing them 2 minutes ago. 3 minutes? 30 minutes. 31 minutes ago I was wearing them. Yes.
Are they? Would you say they're comfortable?
I bought them as a consolation gift for myself when I got thrown off the plane in Detroit.
No, you did not.
Yeah. because I was stuck. I couldn't fly. I had to I was stuck there. So yeah. And I love them. I wear them. If I'm being honest, I wear them to bed for practical purposes every night.
These are the big ones, over the ear ones.
Yeah.
The Maxes, not the in-ear ones, right?
They're $500 ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
They sound great.
They sound really good.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, it's just there's a million reasons why people are crow about why they don't like it, but I do. And I think they sound great. I don't think they're too heavy.
Was there an adjustment
phase? And you can lay down. You can lay down with them.
Was there an adjustment phase for you in anything like that?
In getting used to how they feel?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think so. I hear Marco, of course. You know, I'm not dragging Marco, but because God, thank God for Marco and his everything he's told me about microphones and headphones. And I love that somebody's out there learning more than I want to know so mm-hmm. that they can tell me. There's a reason people used to subscribe to Consumer Reports. It's I can't test every Cuisinart.
No.
Unless you're Marco.
Right.
You buy 16, right. Send back 13.
Right.
And the winnowing begins. This one gets a rose. You know what I'm saying? No. I kid. But I'm fine with almost all headphones. The headphones that I've found uncomfortable in the past were the original AirPods that didn't have the little condom tips. Those did not fit in my ear. They were not comfortable to me.
Right. Yeah.
AirPods Pro are very comfortable to me, but honestly, the AirPods Max are redonkulously comfortable. Because it's not stuck in your ear.
Yeah,
you can walk it doesn't around like a person.
Yes, because I got my son a pair of those. That was his big Christmas gift.
Oh, that's so nice. Does he listen to a lot of stuff with headphones?
He was using the AirPods,
For games and music and whatnot.
But once I got him these, he loves them.
Yeah. So okay, cool. That's such a nice gift.
Well, I thought after a while. You know, he loved them so much. I'm like, okay, well, I guess I should get a pair to try it. And I got it and they're wonderful. I'm so impressed by them.
But
the weight isn't a big deal. I was, when I picked his up, I was like, oh, these feel heavy. They don't. That's not the issue.
For the size and the balance, it's one of those things where my iPhone 15 Pro, mm-hmm. iPhone 15 Pro regular, it's the dumbest thing in the world. It feels so much lighter than the iPhone 14. And it's really not.
It's weird how much lighter it feels.
It's balanced. It's just that it's balanced so differently. And I know that sounds so silly, but feelings are hard to describe. And that's part of being human. I can't describe to you why these big, quote unquote, heavy headphones don't bother me. Are they uncomfortable to you?
No, they're not uncomfortable. I'm.
What's your beef? What are you beefing about?
There's occasionally, when I first put them on, they're really comfortable. And then I something happens where they kind of, I don't know if they something happens where they do become painful.
What part?
Sometimes
my upper ear will hurt a little bit. Sometimes my inside ear.
This is in my sort of where my jaw and the ear kind of are close to each other. I don't know what that's called. As you would say, the taint of your ear.
Y'all.
It kind of is painful and it's it triggers TMJ to start happening or something. I don't know.
Weird. No good. You don't want that.
No.
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying this to be the guy from Reddit, but so you. Do you still wear over-ear headphones? How often do you wear over-the-ear headphones?
Well, a lot. For example, right now I'm wearing this Sony.
I know, but I mean, you don't record podcasts 6 hours a day like you used to.
No, God, no. But and I so still wear these wearing a lot. I wear these Sonys all the time.
These don't bother you. Okay.
These are the most comfortable headphones that I've ever.
WHXM or whatever?
Yeah, these are the Sony MDR-7506.
I still got those. Yeah, I gave those to my wife as a present. I've got two pairs of those from back in the day, and I still like them a lot.
They're lightweight. They're comfortable for me. Yeah, wired. They're wired.
They are. I mean, the thing, and again, this is probably an edge case, is that I really do like sleeping with headphones on, even if I'm not listening to anything. It's just, I don't know. It's just part of my ritual. You know how we talked about going to bed stuff. And these are the only over-ear headphones that I own. I'm not going to say the only ones that exist, but the only ones I own mm-hmm. The Macs are the only ones I own that like you can lay on your side and it's not too bad. I wish there were a way to have more control over the, what's the knob called? I'm forgetting.
That, I mean, I would call it a digital crown because I've been conditioned
to. Yeah, I wish there was more control over that. Like, because if you turn your head, it cranks up or cranks down your volume.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's just sleeping. For me, it's like putting on a sweatshirt, like, you know, doing a lot of things. This is, do not get me started on my AirPods Pro, which I love, where I cannot touch them in any way that they don't think they're on my face and the music stops playing on my computer because now Spotify thinks I'm on those headphones on a different device. Like, it's maddening. All I want to do is put them in the case. And like, if it touches skin, Siri doesn't hear me when I'm screaming.
No.
But anyways, it's different groups. I'm just being mean now. No, so that rules that out. Yeah, I don't know if it just takes time. I'll tell you what, one thing. Also, those pads. I'm sorry, this is really gross. You got to clean those pads.
Oh.
If you wear them a lot.
Yeah.
You got to, but you also got to be careful. Because I've had to replace mine after I cleaned a little too enthusiastically.
Oh. Well, how were you cleaning them and how should you clean them?
Well, I think I'm not a knowledge base.
No.
But I think the way is in like warm water with a little bit of dish soap or something like that.
Sure.
But like they stink. They get stinky and they stink in a specific way.
Uh-huh.
Where, I mean, yeah, maybe it's specific to my stink, except everybody I've talked to who, yes, actually wears them a lot will go, oh, yeah, I just fully replaced those after a while because it was disgusting.
Are they expensive to replace them?
I mean, it's Apple. I think they're $60 or $80.
Right.
They call them ear cups or something like that.
Yeah.
But no, it's not too bad. But I mean, that's, you know, that's not too bad. But I guess it's also neat. Like if you plug them in, if you plug in the Lightning to an adapter, an 1/8-inch adapter, and then run it, like do you get no latency when you do that? I don't think
I've never tried doing that.
You know, the interesting, obviously you understand the question though, right?
Yeah, of course.
Because even with Bluetooth and like being right there and all the best conditions in the world, you know, there's the kind of latency that you can fix in the sense of like, well, let's make sure I send this to the speaker so that it all arrives at the same time. Like that's pretty smart. Lots of devices do that. Sonos stuff, Apple's, like they all do that. When you throw to a speaker, if it's working right, and ordinarily it's funny, like if I send something to three speaker sets, and then if it's out of sync, all I have to do is hit pause and wait a second and hit play and it tends to fix it. But like, you're still going to have, like, if you're doing audio editing or you're recording something, like, I don't know. I just think about like the way, like I could see somebody like John Siracusa winning a game controller that's hardwired to something just because of the latency issues with that.
Sure. Oh yeah.
There's enough latency in this world. You know what I'm saying? There's so much latency.
There's so much latency in the world. And John Siracusa has a special place in hell that he puts latency things.
Yeah.
There is the headphones that I used to have that were, that were wireless noise canceling headphones before AirPods existed were the Sony WH-1000, or they have like a series of different. I don't remember the exact model that I had.
I always say it wrong. The ones I've got are something like, just start mashing the keyboard and mine's like, I want to say WHXM. I'm going to look it up.
XM right now, and there's like a 4 and a 5. Anyway, the 5 are the new ones.
The 5 are the new ones. The 4s are great though.
And I think I had like the 2 or the 3 or something a long time ago.
But they were Bose. I feel like Bose was the first big brand name.
They were 100%
noise canceling headphones.
Yes.
I had a pair of Sonys when I worked... Oh my God. My old employer, which I can't even imagine how many times that domain name has changed hands. My old employer had an ad during the big game and it made my whole family cackle. But when I worked there, I had these little Sony folding headphones.
Yeah.
They were noise canceling and it had a little switch. They were really nice. They're really cute. And you'd like, they each of the left and right sides had a little, what would you call it? Like a thing where you can fold it. And you go, choo-choo, and
yeah,
then
yeah.
Turns it into like 4 quarters.
Right.
And you stick it in a little bag.
Yeah.
And I can listen to my Nomad MP3 player or my Diamond Rio before that. And that was fantastic. And you could hit that little button and you hear this like, remember that? You
yes.
First turn on noise, can you hear?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, like the plane is so much better now.
Well, you would say, well, Dan, why aren't you using the Sonys that you have?
Dan, why aren't you using the Sonys that
I
you
love
have?
Them, but.
But.
For some weird reason, if I pair them up with a computer, they're horrible. The Bluetooth connection is horrible. And my assumption is it's because these things are like 8 years old and they're using a very old Bluetooth standard and the range on them is horrible and it constantly would skip and everything else.
Because you said they're twos. And by the way, mine is the reason I'm confused. WH. I think I have the fives now as well. WH.
So 1000.
1000 XM4.
Four is the one you have.
And I also have a five.
Okay.
That's the last over-ear headphones I bought before these Macs.
I think I just want to return the Apple ones and get these because there a reason I shouldn't? Are they not as good?
Well, I don't know. I mean, the Apple ecosystem.
I love the Apple ecosystem, Merlin.
Yeah. I mean, like I was on a podcast with a friend, Brett Terpstra, a few weeks ago with Christina Warren. And we were talking about, she said something, I think, because she's Christine, she's awesome. But she said something along the lines of, like, I can't understand why anybody would use Safari today. And I was like, oh, because I was like, and you can't understand why anyone? I was like, I know there's browsers other people like better, but like, it was a bit. But I did find myself then interrogating, why is it I like Safari so much? And the answer wasn't difficult, isn't difficult, which is that Safari's place in the Apple ecosystem is irreplaceable.
It is.
If that's not important to somebody, that's okay. But like the reason somebody could want to use it is stuff like handoff.
Mm-hmm.
It's stuff like being able to open an iCloud tab from a computer I haven't logged into in however long.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's all of those things.
Just being able to, you log into a website and it sends a code to your phone. It's right there in Safari. You don't have to copy. You don't have to paste. It's right there.
Oh, I know.
Little things like that to just make it.
And more and more stuff is getting pass keys. Mm-hmm. I know this isn't a Safari thing, but like, right. Oh my goodness, that's so great. But so two sides of this. I'm going to say the 80% whatever plus good. The problem with Apple stuff is if I'm being mean, what I will say is this particular device works fine as long as you don't use it for anything. Like Apple TV as something on a shelf is fine. If you use it as the way you watch TV, as much as I watch TV, oh boy, do you notice problems with it. And if you one were to use the, you'll notice several things I'm about to mention I didn't mention before because I don't know if other people have this. But one of the problems with the Macs is, just real quick, is like, I have not yet pinpointed why it is that sometimes after I unplug it, take out the lightning thing, should be all charged up, and they're unresponsive when I put them on.
Yeah.
And, I'm trying a fair number of things. There's a little quick, like, restart. There's the full press down both and wait a long time, like, fully reset, like, take them out of your iCloud and start over. Mm-hmm. Thank God you can do that. But it's just, it happens often enough that I think, I wonder if it's something with, if I've got cables that are confusing it, if it's got corrosion that's confusing. Sometimes, though, then here's the thing. I take off they don't work. They're basically, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, inoperable. They're not responding.
Yeah, bricked.
I take them off. I've just unplugged the lightning, right? And mm-hmm. put them on, mm-hmm. and nothing happens. So I take them off my head. I plug them back in. I go, I unplug it, and then it's fine. Like, I don't know what causes that, but like, hey guys, if you look at your logs, I bet you'll see stuff about that. Got a lot of good logs out there. Why does my computer crash every night? And then it says, please fill in all the details. I said, yep, still crashing every night. I've done everything I can and it keeps crashing when it's sleeping. I'm like, what were you doing? It's like sleeping, just like the computer. But no, I'm getting to a point with this kind of, which is that like, there's stuff that again, might just be me. The big point and the thing to focus on for people who do enjoy Apple stuff is like, you don't even realize how many benefits I get anyway out of the Apple ecosystem until I'm somewhere else. And a lot of times, I don't like using Chrome. If I have to use a second browser, I generally use Vivaldi or Firefox. I mean, I don't have a dog in this fight. It's Safari or something I have to use because I can't use Safari.
Right.
Right. That's basically it. And boy, do I ever notice it. Like, there's all kinds of, I mean, it's Firefox. It's got all the features. It's got a bajillion more extensions that do stuff, that actually do stuff. How this happened to me, I signed up for Ghost this week. And like, of course, the bookmarklet, I can't imagine how you would have something. I know it's a newsletter maker, but I consider it a blog. How could you not have a bookmark, like a JavaScript bookmarklet for that? Well, just go get this Chrome extension because everybody's on Chrome. So you miss out on things like that, the permissiveness of those different browsers. But again, for me, it does not take very long at all for me to notice where the lack of an ecosystem is having even a small impact in a way right. that kind of bugs me.
Yeah.
You know? And so like things like hitting command Y command Y, command F, right? If you're on Safari right now, hit command Y, command F. I do this a lot. You can also search history and launch bar if you have that.
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
But command Y, command F.
Yeah, it brings up your history and finds everything.
Yeah, I save my history for usually like a year because boy, I'll want to know. And like, why would you do that? Why would you care? Okay, I'm on my Mac. And I remember there was this time, I'm just making this up, but you'll get the point. Probably near Christmas, where I was thinking, where I was doing this thing where I was making different vases, like for my 3D printer, or like where I first started using this certain kind of filament. And then, oh, and that filament caused a jam. And I'm just making this up, but like, and I think, oh, okay, well, I remember I fixed this once before. Ditto for Synology, ditto for wherever. Oh, I have to do command F, command Y, command F. And just start searching. And I not only find the thing that I looked at before, which can I just say, Apple, if you visit an item from history, it shouldn't undo the history date from the past.
Oh, it does. It makes it like you just visited it and takes it out of the...
That's very frustrating.
Yeah, moves it to the very top.
Because I really rely... I mean, that to me would be like looking up a serial number in Gmail and it changing the date of the email to today. Like that's not how the system works. But so why would I, well, all I remember is like, again, I have this like scattered memory of something, but I know where to look. I know, as I've said many times, so much of the things where I'm able to remember or not remember, but locate something comes from photos. It comes from Safari. Honestly, it comes from Gmail. That browser history becomes really important. If I want to find a receipt, I go to Gmail. Like if I want to remember when something happened, why look at the calendar if it's going to be ambiguous and I might not have written it down? All I know, it was one time we were in the East Bay. We'll go to photos because all your photos are geotagged. So that sounds nuts, right? But like you go to photos anywhere on any of your machines and look for this particular place, or now you can find, you know, words and letters inside of images, which I use constantly. In fact, I've started operationalizing that into a new thing I'm doing that I'd love to tell you about.
Let's hear it.
But just finish this one part. I'm trying to make a case to people who think they have a great memory, A, and will B, have a great memory forever. Well, neither of those things is true, but that's your problem, not mine. I know I don't have a good memory. I know that I have a wackadoo detailed memory for certain things. And then sometimes I just don't remember the name of the actor John Lithgow. But I know where to look. So right. Like if I want to find something that happened, let's say, you know, in what did I mention earlier? Like South San Francisco. Well, I can go look for photos that were taken in South. Well, there's a bunch in South. Yeah. But like I can go and then I can like say show in all photos and find something that's near that. The same way that in 1995 or six, I learned how to search Yahoo by finding something similar to what I wanted and then back solving. So if I could find something similar to what I wanted, that would take me to the category of other things I probably want. It's a strategy, right? So in Gmail, God, when did this happen? When did I buy these airline tickets? You know, my kid just found an old Canon PowerShot in the garage and I want to get a new battery and be fun if the kid could play with my old camera. And so like, I'm able to go in and like, obviously I can find the model there, but you know what I'm talking about? Like, oh, when did I buy a battery charger for this? Why? Well, that gives me some insight on, is it probably at my office? Is it probably at my house? These things all really work well together. Photos will show me things about location and time. It could just be, I just remember it's when my kid was at this school. Well, that's a start. How am I going to find that otherwise? Well, I don't know, but like that works. Finding, again, Amazon, And for me, launch bar, I hit command space, and then I type A and hit enter, and it takes me to my Amazon history. Because I search my, I'm in it right now to find these headphones. I'm literally the page in front of me right now.
Yeah.
I search for the word Sony.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I found them. But so what, why the rant? Well, I mean, there's a case I'm trying to make that I won't say publicly, which is, hey, I started carrying a hipster PDA again. And it's nice. Not because I'm cool. It's because sometimes I really just want a fast way to write something down. Your memory's not always going to be what you think it is now. And more saliently, your memory's probably not what you think it is now. It's just that I'm old enough to not trust my memory, and you're too young and conceited to realize it's probably not that good. So mm-hmm. start now, right?
Mm-hmm.
John Syracuse taught me this wonderful phrase, the best time to plant a tree is 30 years ago, and the second best time is today, which I think about a lot. But like, what is something that will take, let's exclude Gmail for a second. Let's just look at, although it could be, you know, mail.app if you're that kind of animal, but photos, browser history, how often do I switch between date modified and date added in a folder? What's in common of all those things? Well, the date modified and date, that's also from my iCloud folder, and that's synced everywhere.
Right.
So wherever I made that change, it'll pop up there. Here's one for you. I do a lot of things with screenshots. Nobody probably ever noticed that, but I do a lot of stuff with screenshots. Every time I do a screenshot, I use something called CleanShot, which is a great app. It's available on SetApp, and you can buy it also with a subscription, but you can get the full version on SetApp. CleanShot, I guess it's true, depending on your level of expertise, this is true for lots of things, but one thing I've done is I have a way that I name the screenshots, get named for me, which is the name of the device that I'm on,
mm-hmm.
and then a date stamp. So no matter what happens with all those screenshots I've ever done, they're all in this one folder. Again, thank you, Jeffrey Zeldman. I have a folder called I.
That was famously where he kept all of his.
You want to minimize. Yeah, you want to squeeze every byte out.
Yeah.
But like, I'm getting somewhere with this, which, and that'll get synced up. In this case, that's Dropbox, but it's God, if iCloud synced better, I would use it for everything, but it's, my nominal topic today is kind of related to that, but these all work very well together. So an example might be something like, and again, so what are we talking about here? We're talking about photos, which is in the Apple Photos app. We've got things like receipts, which in my case are Gmail, but it might be in your mail.app. But the point is, it's IMAP or similar, and it's all hooked up. You can find it from anywhere. I've got the way that I name things. So if I want to find something, a screenshot taken on the computer called computer, I just look for computer A versus computer B versus computer C. I can sub filter by that. And then I can also say, oh, that's right. I remember I was taking a lot of photos of my 3D stuff at that time. So if I want to know the date that I did this, I might be able to find the actual print right in my history. I will probably be able to find a photo of it. And if it's a photo that's in photos, I'll see it. And if it's a screenshot of something, because how about this? I go into drafts and I want to remember I had a funny joke the last time that I was watching The Thing.
Mm.
And so I go in and I search for, in drafts, I search for The Thing 1981. Because if you're a gentleman, you put the year of the movie.
The year you have to, otherwise who knows what you're going to get.
It disambiguates it. Well, who cares? Are you a nerd? I care. I am a nerd. And that means that if you search for The Thing in your corpus of data, you know what you're going to find? A lot of things. If I search for The Thing paren 1981, I can find it exactly. And then it'll say January 14th, 2024. Guess what that means? That means I can go over to my images folder, look for the date in the screenshot of those things, and immediately find it. Plus, if there's things in the image, like letters, but the thing that binds a lot of that together is my inherent trust in Apple's system, in their ecosystem. And so, like, and I don't want to end with bitching, but, you know, that's the part that gets frustrating, though, sometimes. Like, I am really up against it with iCloud Sync. Like I say, we don't need to talk about this today. Oh, yeah, and then what was my other thing I was going to tell you? I had a new thing I'm doing. Oh. Yeah, so I do things. I do projects. I was talking about what I operationalized. This sounds silly. I don't care. I do projects. So, like, one of my projects is I do stuff related to dehumidifying beads. And these are these little, like, you know, like you get a silica packet. You can buy big jugs of that stuff. They're these little beads, like probably few millimeters, mostly round. And you put them into things and then they remove humidity. Why would you care? I super need that for my 3D printer. I have dehumidifying I have to do with all of my filaments, these four crates of filament I've got. I've got to put dehumidifying beads into my automatic material sender, my AMS, et cetera, et cetera. You don't need to know why, but sometimes I do little experiments and I'll do stuff like, what if I leave this bunch of beads out for a couple months and see what happened?
Right.
It didn't occur to me until a couple months ago, something I could do. So I've got a little pint glass with a bunch of beads in it, and mm-hmm. I want to see how long it takes them to turn from blue to purple to white.
Oh, cool.
Because they're color indicating beads. So I very neatly, in my horrible handwriting, wrote out bead test in the date on an index card. And then I was going to take a photo of the beads anyway, because how else would I know to compare?
Right.
But guess what? I made a point of also then getting that index card in the picture. Can you guess why? Because now I could go search for bead test. And any photos, like I do this for like comparing the size of plants that I'm growing. Does anybody do this for like the equivalent of like very long time lapse? Well, if you write it on a little card and put it next to the thing, like, for example, I was trying to figure out the weight and density, basically the density of some different filaments. And so I was printing out samples and kind of identifying that in Google Sheets. This is the kind of thing that I do. Like, you've got to be unambiguous. You've got to write it all down. You got a photo. Hey, do you remember which one is the black PLA and which one's the black PLA plus? Well, if you take it out and write the number on it in white marker the second that it's done, that'll help a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But then if I want to refer back to something like that, let's remember it's got letters and words in it. So why not make that part of your own system? If there's people out there running around doing PKMs that are just like balls to the wall banana stuff that captures every stroke they ever do and every article they've ever read, and you know, it's the dream. But like, there's a kind of PKM, personal knowledge manager, that you can be doing on your own and never even know that term. If you've ever taken a photo of the place where you're parked in a garage in a strange place, like, and then the people are going to say stuff like, well, you know, Google Maps will remember where you park. It's like, yeah, it could, but like, I've been doing this since I got my first cell phone camera.
Right.
And it really does work.
Yeah.
Like, it really
trustworthy.
Like this
reliable.
Is a kind of PKM that we all have access to. And if you all were being as honest as I'm trying to be, I think you would admit that you rely on this kind of system more than you probably realize. And if I could be just a homemade dick, if you're not relying on a system like that, you're being very inefficient.
Mm-hmm.
Or you will be inefficient at the point that you stop remembering or thinking you remember everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like Einstein said, why would I memorize anything that I can look up? And that's how I feel. And that's also when I run up against stuff like with ChatGPT, I love it to death, but like, it still feels crazy to me that at this point I can't search across all of my threads. I mean, I can download everything as a wad of JSON, but like, that's no way to live. So all I was going to say about the headphones is like, yeah, there is stuff like that unplugging thing that's frustrating. The other one that I know I really feel like I'm not alone on this. I feel like Brian Hamilton's thought, a lot of people have talked about this. There's a thing. Let's say you've got, and maybe this is a first world problem. Again, I literally don't care. But I got these AirPods I paid a lot of money for and I love them. And when I put them into my ear, failing everything else, unless I've said otherwise, I always want it to go boom and be my phone. So like if I have my phone out and I stick my AirPods in and I hit play, I want it to go through those AirPods. Mm-hmm. Doesn't that seems pretty intuitive?
I mean, yes.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Let's say you got more than one device. Let's say you've got, for example, you've got an iPhone, you've got a Mac, you've got an Apple TV. Well, there's a setting in there that not everybody knows about to say like whether or not this should automatically connect to these headphones or AirPods or whatever. Or I think the other thing in the pull down is, do you want me to automatically connect to this every time? Or do you want me to connect if this was the last device that was connected?
Right.
So I don't know if this is, according to Hoyle, correct way to do that. But for all of those things, I've turned off automatic on every device I can find.
Oh.
And my phone should win for all of those.
Right. But you're saying it does not.
Except when it doesn't. And by that, I mean, like, not just that, like, it's confused. Like, one thing that's great is, like, if I have been listening on my phone and I pop on my, and I, like, I want to watch Apple TV, if I hit pause on the headphones and then turn on the Apple TV, you'll get a little pop-up that says, mm-hmm. hey, these headphones are available. Long press to connect them. Great. Easy peasy. But here's the thing, and this is the part where it gets crazy, is that I like so many of the things in Apple's very terse and minimalist interfaces.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's real obvious to people what you need to do to stop having that insane problem where you wake your whole family up because this is not playing through the thing you expected. And the way I've found to do that is you go and turn off automatically and change it to when last connected. Or I guess you can probably turn it off altogether. I don't know. But like, I only have automatic headphones on my iPhone and nowhere else, which seems like it should fix the problem.
Yeah, you would think that would be the answer.
But the rub is, it doesn't. Because sometimes, for some reason, I don't know if it's AirPod related or different device related, it forgets. It forgets that this should automatically connect.
Right.
I don't know what causes that. But I think Brian Hamilton in particular, I've heard lots of people talk about this and it's crazy frustrating. So what's the option? What do you do now, smartass? Right. Well, you know what you do? You go to every one of those devices and check what the setting is. So you go to your Apple TV. And see is automatically selected. Because even if you had selected something else, there's a chance that for some reason it now thinks you want to do that automatically. So all I was going to say is the 80% positive is
that's so frustrating.
When this Apple stuff works, there's just so much stuff that works really well that's come so far. And
yeah.
I could go on all day about those kinds of things. There's other kinds of things where you're like still, oh my God, you still haven't fixed that. But then there's just those things where it's like, it's something. Remember, Chris Traeger says this in Parks and Rec when he gets the flu. He said, "Remember, he wants to live to 150, and he has a very delicate body." And he says his body's like a microchip, and like one grain of sand. And he gets really, really sick with the flu, and he stares into the mirror, and he's been vomiting, and he goes, "The microchip has been compromised." There's so many ways to compromise the microchip, and I don't know what causes it. I don't know how to fix it, but you know what, Apple, I'm in. And again, this is the worst kind of bitch because I don't even know what it is I'm bitching about. Why won't iCloud Drive stay synced everywhere 100% all the time? Oh, go in and run bird kill all. Oh, thanks, bud. Hadn't thought to look that up. So go to bird kill all and tell it to basically completely restart everything that you have on iCloud. Well, it's okay. I've only got a couple of things. Yeah, but like if you use iCloud like they want you to and you buy that big tier, buddy, you're going to be re-downloading so much stuff on so many devices. What if you're on a plane and it hasn't synced? You're going to run bird kill all on Delta? Like, guys, fix this. Make an unambiguous button. Forget all that bullshit about like, do you want your desktop and downloads folder synced? Let's just turn, I don't know. I didn't, fine. Put that somewhere else. I want a big button that says, that gives me an option for how, I mean, in my head, it's like, do you want everything synced 100% automatically? Or do you want me to automatically do that thing where I shunt stuff off, sort of like the way apps disappear from your phone? Because boy, is it ever frustrating. And as I stand here, we don't have time to talk about this now, but like, I'm in the midst of a thing I keep talking about doing every year, which is I'm doing a full review of my whole text world. And trying to get beyond the things I consider historic problems to figure out what it is I actually want to accomplish. Where are things where I have to have an app for my own preferences or for that thing? Where are things where like it's totally agnostic of what app I use? Where are things where like, oh my God, everything about this app is great, except that like adding new things is a pain. Ghost is great, but there's no app for it. So you got to go to the website. Well, ask yourself this. If you had to use a website to do Mastodon or Twitter, would you use it as much? I wouldn't.
Right. Now. Yeah.
So it's this really funny admixture, but like, I see this as a really good opportunity to say like, yeah, I love the Apple stuff. I love all that syncing stuff until they get this figured out. And a lot of iCloud stuff has gotten better. iCloud Drive. Maybe it's just me. It might just be me, but it's really crazy making to me that I'll go and I'll right click and it says everything's up to date. And then I open it up and I drill down into my 3D printer file folder and I see a different, I don't see the icon that I want to see. I want to see the icon that says, yeah, of course, this is totally downloaded. That's what you told me to do. And instead, I have to right click and say download all or download this. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh my gosh, that's no way to run a fire department. Like I can't live like that. But that's the thing. You got me, Apple. I'm in. I do love the ecosystem. I love that it all works together. I love that if I'm waiting for like a package to be delivered, for example, like I can just pop in and just flip on notifications for my front door camera and that'll pop up on my TV. I don't want that all the time. No way. No, thank you. But like, if I'm waiting for something and like, you know what I'm saying? That kind of thing. That's nice because I can get that notification on every device if I want. And it generally does work pretty well. It's just, I guess if there's a thesis to this, part A of the thesis is, hey, Apple, thank you. I use your stuff. I love your stuff. But the problem for you is I do use your stuff and I do love your stuff. And I could say in a fancy way, I have high expectations. I think I have higher expectations than the people who just go buy stuff at, you know, the gateway at the mall or whatever. But all I'm doing is using the stuff the way you guys told me I could use it in the keynote. And if I were going to try and organize a canoe trip, because that's basically all Craig does all day, whatever it is, I would not have a huge amount of trust that I could make it work well, let alone the half dozen other people that I need to work on this together.
Right.
And everything's getting better, blah, blah, blah. But you made me, Apple, you made me love the ecosystem so much that now it's like a Morton Joe, you know, don't become addicted to water. You know what I'm saying? You resent its absence. That's what a Morton Joe says.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he says, go find out what's got that so agitated. little guy says that.
The little one.
Do you use iCloud Drive?
Yes.
For things?
Yes. I don't use Dropbox anymore.
Oh, and so what do you got? What all you got it on? You got it on your Mac you're on now.
Probably Mac laptop, I'm on, right? The back, which is a laptop. Yeah, my main Mac is still a laptop. I guess I suppose I could access it from my phone, although I very rarely do that.
I spend so much time in files. Big tip for files, guys, add all the providers that you can to that makes sense, whether that's Synology, Dropbox, iCloud, what have you, and really work those favorites. So like I've got, I drill down into my Dropbox, DDD, get down to rectifs, long press, make this a favorite. You know what I mean? Like it's so much faster than trying to, it's one of those places where the touch interface just falls down. If you don't have a key, I mean, like for me, God, keyboards, I mean, next to the terminal are so useful for the Finder. I would lose my mind in the Finder if I had to click on everything. So having a touch interface for that can be a real pain, but you can really shortcut that by creating and then properly maintaining favorites in there. But you don't have problems with sync on iCloud?
I know that
yours now. Can you open your iCloud Drive now?
Yeah, it's open.
What is it? Command Shift C? No, there's a command for it. But anyway, you go to your iCloud Drive. Okay, so like when you mouse over, I'm guessing you have it in your Finder on the left, yeah?
Yeah, yep.
When you mouse over iCloud Drive, what icon pops do you see next to it?
A little check with a circle around
it. Check mark, okay. If you right click, or sorry, if you control click, if you, so right click and get info. Mm-hmm. No, damn it, there's one that'll show you what the downloading activity is. Or maybe that's just when you click on it. You know what? Sorry, no modifier keys. Just click on the check.
Okay.
So mine says synced with iCloud.
Yes.
Last sync 1 hour ago.
Mine 34 minutes.
Yeah. And like, so like everything on this computer is doing fine. Like, I don't know what I did differently here. According to this, I've got the full cloud. So guys, just so you know, go to iCloud Drive and probably Command J. In Command J, probably turn on Command J, by the way, great to know for the Finder. That turns on your preferences for the window you're looking at. So like, you know, I've got calculate all sizes on, I've got tags, I've got all that stuff. Also guys, really having date added in addition to date modified, hugely helpful. But I go in here and then there's an icon for iCloud status. And like all great icons these days, it's hard to tell what it means unless you see it next to something else. Thanks, real handy. But like, so it's a gray cloud. Okay. Well, gray cloud actually means it's synced. And if you see gray cloud or see cloud with like an arrow, like a sharrow, that means it's available and you can download it. But it's so uneven for me. And then I'll just be thinking everything is fine and I'll double click something. And of course, for a second, I don't realize that there's nothing there. Right. It's the equivalent of an alias. I mean, I don't know the equivalent. It's similar to like if you clicked on an alias that was unresolvable. Like it'll try to open it in the app and go, yeah, there's nothing in here. Error, error. Oh, that's right, because I got to go wait for it all to download. I don't know, man. I don't know. Services, it's the future. See, but I want to end on a happy note.
You don't, or you do?
Which one should? What do you think I should?
I think you don't. I think we leave it bleak and a little, sad.
You say leave them hurting.
Yeah. Oh, I do want to mention one thing.
Oh.
Based on your unintentional recommendation of the watching The Curse.
Yes.
I watched and I love it. I'm still not totally done. I think I'm on episode 8. I don't remember if this is the last episode or if there's more.
Tell you about some YouTube videos that help a lot.
Oh yeah.
Wait, so you made it through the end though.
No. I'm on episode 8 now. I don't know if this is the end or if I have more after this. I'm in the middle of the episode because I only. 10. Okay, good. So I have more.
So I'm trying to remember what episode 8 is.
I will only watch it while I'm on my rower.
Yeah, that's what I did.
And it's, I bet.
Only when I'm on your rower.
Right.
Down and Dirty, episode 8.
This is one of the ways that I motivate myself, not only to row, but to row for longer by saying
it's the one where Asher and Dougie go out and have beers?
Yes.
Yes.
Only allow myself to watch great shows like this. So that way
you give yourself a little treat. You're saying, I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to row.
Yeah. Cause sometimes you wake up in the morning, you're like, I don't feel like rowing it down. I'm going to row today. And then you get on the rower and it's the only way I can watch the show.
Yeah.
I love the show. It's not at all what I thought. I had to readjust
not just my expectations. Maybe we should wait till you're done, but all I would say to you and to anybody else out there is like, for myself as a huge Nathan Fielder fan, like, I mean, I personally like Nathan For You more than the rehearsal. I get the ambition of the rehearsal. I think it's amazing.
Yes.
For all the reasons that Christopher Nolan loves it too. But I mean, I get more laughs per minute from him talking to the guy that gave me a story, drinks his grandson's urine. Or the people who want to, like in that same episode, the people who want to like have their rebate, their gas rebates, but he has riddles for them to solve on top of a mountain in the middle of the night. I love that show so much. And look for that Christopher Nolan interview with him and Benny, because it's really good.
Did he write the show? Or is he just on the show? Okay.
No. He and Benny created it. The three of them with Emma Stone are, I think, executive producers.
Cool.
But
I'd like it even better knowing that.
The behind the scenes stuff. If you end up liking it or if people are interested, I can put together a playlist of some videos that help a lot that it's really critical not to watch until you've made it through the end, but until you've sat with what you think happened.
Okay. Don't send me anything then, because I don't want to see anything. It's such a great
isn't
that show.
Why is it always through a window? Why are the shots like you notice that at some point, yes, right? Like why are they always shooting through house at the very first shot?
Yes.
Not in the first scene. The first shot in the movie is through a window. And I think I said this to you, but like I was like, wait a minute, is this that new Nathan Fielder show with Emma Stone? Like, because they're just kind of dollying in on a guy and his mom sitting on the couch, and you're like, What is this? I thought they had an HGTV.
Like a dog barking in the background.
Yeah.
It's such a...
There's one shot you've probably already seen, but there's one shot that is so telling. You see a shot of Asher and Whitney talking, and then you see this weird shot from inside of...
Yeah, and it's a lady sitting on the sofa the whole time they're talking.
Like, what's the lady doing?
Like watching TV, right?
Staring straight at the camera.
That's weird.
There's so many things shot through a window. There's so many things where you're like, wait a minute. I understand this is like, it's like when you're first new to like European art house movies and you're like, is it supposed to be like this? Like, or like Christopher Nolan, is it supposed to be hard to hear? Like, you know, you learn about like what people are doing aesthetically with those decisions, right? And so with this one, there's a lot where I said from the beginning with Madeline, God, there's so many, or like, oh God, remember you ever handle a big hose? Remember Whitney and the fireman and this shot through this filthy car window.
Yeah, it's so weird. His
face is so amazing. Like, why all of that stuff? I think we should come back to it. I feel good giving, I feel like, I don't know. I don't like to over promote things because it crushes the bunny. But if you like weird stuff, The Curse on Showtime is worth it, but you're going to have to give a little of yourself to it.
No, you do.
And not, in my case, not expect Nathan For You. Like, there's no dumb Starbucks in this. There are moments that are laugh out loud funny.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
It's just the most laugh out loud funny moments are like once you've gotten comfortable or uncomfortable with the vibe of the show.
Yeah, the first episode,
it's like a horror movie. It's just an unnerving TV show to watch.
Yeah,
and you're like, wait, nothing's happening. This is just two white people, like going to a place that sells jeans. Why is this so stressful? And like you start to realize as you spend more time with it, like, oh man, this was shot like a horror movie.
Right, and the whole thing for me, I watched the first episode, and I watched it. And I was like, I don't know if I like the way I'm feeling right now.
Like, let's make it simple. What is this?
Yeah. What is this? But it also makes you feel weird. I thought this was going to be more
baggy pants, broad, like parody of people on HGTV.
Yes. That's what I thought it was going to be.
Which
like
it is, but boy, is it ever deeper and broader than
there's
that.
There's so many awkward scenes.
I'm not sure what to do with this.
Yes. Like,
okay, so Whitney and Asher were talking. Asher has walked away, and now it's just Whitney standing there with a kind of uncomfortable expression on her face.
Right.
And the camera dollies in just a little, but it just holds there for like 20 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, is that supposed to be like this? And like, it's, if you go into it going like, well, where's my big laughs? Where's like, you know, like Nathan having to get out of the handcuffs or it tears his pants off and he becomes a child predator who has to register as a sex offender. Like, believe me, Nathan For You, watch it. Oh my God.
Yeah.
If you can only watch one episode of Nathan For You, watch the one called Smokers Allowed, because that is not only one of the most incredible episodes of TV ever, but it is the antecedent to both the rehearsal and in some ways the curse.
Right.
Did you ever see Smokers Allowed?
Nope.
You know, he goes in, he got really good grades in business school and in Canada. And so he goes in and he helps companies or businesses that need help. And this is one where there's this woman, she loves smoking, her customers love smoking, but there's a new law in California where you can't smoke in the bar. And Nathan finds a novel solution for her.
Oh my God.
Put it on your list.
I will. It's on.
But I like all the stuff.
Yeah.
But you know.
Yeah.
You come to like, you know, you expect it to work. Anyway, let's end on a sad note.
Okay. I like that.
What else is sad? Oh, the Bang Bang Machine stopped. Now the people who are just outside the they're kind of like post-teens that live here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They don't really understand how to take out the trash.
No.
Oh, no. They don't understand any aspect of it.
No.
See, now if I'd raised those kids, they would know
you do not
put a big bag of trash in a white 13-gallon bag into the recycling. You don't do that.
No.
What if somebody did? What would you think of somebody if you saw somebody do that? That's like drunk driving.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what I would say it was like.
Not even once.
Nope.
And then I'll put the cans away. I'm angry.
Nope.
Okay, let's button this up. I love you.
I love you too, Marla, man.